Thank you so much, Brother Ledbetter, for allowing me to come. And I was just here, a couple months ago when you had revival, and we had a good time with that. My daughter came with me on that. And let me introduce my son. Stand up, Joshua. It's my son, Joshua. You can be seated. And you can sit down. He's 16 years old. Sit down, I said. He's my son, and 16 years old. Now, the picture there is a little different now. He's a little younger there. Now my wife's just as young, still that young, and my girls, of course, are a little bigger now. But we're in Killarney, of course, as Pastor had mentioned, and we came to Killarney in April of last year, and God's been good to us. We're all settled, and everything's going well, and we just praise the Lord for what He's used us to do thus far in Ireland. And we were in Ireland a little previous to that, but we're over in Killarney now, and we're just praising the Lord for what He's going to do there. And we're anticipating some blessings, amen? When you serve the Lord, you've got to just anticipate God doing something. You claim some promises and look forward to some victories are coming ahead. And I think you got a new picture I want to show real quick. Just recently, we're just trying to get used to, get to know some folks in our area, get to know some people, just try to win them to ourselves a little bit. We invited some folks over for just a kind of a craft time. For my wife actually invited them over, got to know some ladies in town, and 10 ladies showed up at our house, amen? And so we're just getting to know some people and inviting them over to house. That way they're getting to see that we're not strange, you know, weirdos and all that. And even though you might think so, I just wanted to show you that picture. I brought a little picture just to show it to you, and preacher was able to get it in his computer somehow. And so I just wanted to show you that. That's just a meeting we had a few months ago at our house. And so we're, of course, working slowly to be able to bring folks, get the gospel to them. Of course, we're out several times throughout the week, of course, getting gospel tracts out, talking to people, knocking on doors, and we're just kind of plowing the field now, amen? And you got to break up the ground. You got to break up the hard ground and plant the seed down in order to see something come about. So that's the stage we're in right now, and it's a difficult stage, of course. It is, but I believe God's going to bless, and we're going to see some wonderful things happen there. Now, we're working towards a date in April, just after your men's retreat, I believe. Does that go to the 10th? To Saturday, yeah. Now, there it goes. I won't be able to come to it now because we're actually having a big day, kind of a start-off push date, like on April 11. And so just a few days before that, we're going to be working real hard and pushing towards a big day that we're going to have. We'd like to have that day. We've got a hotel reserved. That was in our home. And we've been having a Bible study church Sunday morning only. That's how we're kind of starting right now. That's why I'm able to come tonight. But we're hoping and praying that after April 11, we're going to be able to have Sunday night church and just have a kind of full week of activities and things like that for folks. And so just pray about that. I would appreciate that very much. If you'd pray for April 11, a big push day that we're having. It's coming up. I mean, good night. I cannot believe it's already mid-February, but we're just praying and hoping, and we're going to get some advertising done and just do everything we can do. But really, you know, you can do all the methods, and you can go out and knock on doors. You can do everything that you can do, but really, it's up to the Holy Spirit, amen? I mean, the Holy Spirit's got to do His work and got to work on the hearts of people. And so what I tell folks is this, like people were asking, how are things going in Killarney? How are things working? How are things moving along? What I tell them is this, I'm working hard, like everything depends on me, and I'm praying like everything depends on God, amen? And that's the approach you have to have towards something like that. And so, and I know you've got things going on here, and you want to break your record of soul winning at the end of this month, right? And so, but you just got to pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on you. And just come out, be here, do what you have to do. And don't let excuses come up and just decide right now what you're going to be part of that day or decide you're going to be part of something coming up in the service and so or in the church. So we're looking forward to what God's going to do there. And I have no idea what things are going to turn out like on that day. Of course, the Sunday right before that is Easter, and we were going to have it that day, but I just didn't think that would be a good day, so we chose the next Sunday. And so, we're just looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. And I'm scared to death, but I'm excited too. And so just pray for us. We'd appreciate it. And we'd like to make it down here as well. Perhaps during midweek or something, just to just to stop in and just, you know, be here for church or whatever, because we don't have that going in the midweek just yet either. But just pray for us. We'd appreciate that. And we're out for souls. We're out to try and make a difference for the Lord. And, you know, it's not my own charisma, which I don't think I have. It's not my talent that's going to make anything happen there. It's going to be God. You know, it's going to be Jesus that builds the work there. And I'm just a tool in His hands. I'm just something that God, if You can use me, God, I'm here. God, if You can use me, I'm available. And, you know, if You have that spirit in this church, the attitude that, God, I'm here in the church, can I do something here? And go to pastor and ask him. He'll make up something you can do. Amen. And he'll come up. He'll just think of something you can do. And even if it doesn't need to be done, but you know, just think. You know, just make yourself available. Say, God, I'm here. I want You to use me, God, and God will use you. And everything's important. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be teaching Sunday school or something else. Everything's important. You know, coming in, putting in the song books this evening. That's important. Somebody needs to do it. Amen. When it says, take your song books and turn to so and so page. You don't want to have to go over there and get them. I mean, it's important that everybody does their job. And so, praise the Lord, you have somewhere that you can serve. Praise the Lord for that. You know, if I talk too fast tonight, I'm sorry. I just get going fast and I get talking fast. And so I hope you catch at least 25% of what I'm saying. Okay? Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter... Good to see you, Martin. I remember meeting you a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember me or not. But it's good to see you. Good to see you. When I saw you leading songs, I thought, wow, there's Martin. And yeah, wow, he came. He came to church again. But I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you. So Acts chapter 16. I won't keep you long tonight. And when a preacher says that, he's not real. He don't really mean that, but he's just saying that. And yeah. So if he says that. And usually when you see a preacher take his watch off and put it up like that, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. He just wants to do that, okay? And so don't get your hopes up. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to start reading for you in verse number 4. And we're going to read, I believe, up to verse 11 or 12. And then we'll pray. And we'll get into a message tonight that I hope will help you. And I believe if you listen to me over the next 17 to 20 minutes, it'll be a help to you. And that's what I want to do tonight. I didn't come tonight to tickle your ears or to wax eloquent or anything like that, or what we say in our home, wax the elephant. I didn't come here tonight for that, but I came tonight to try and be a help. And so if you can just get one little truth, one little nugget, one little something you can take home and think about tonight, I'll be grateful for that, and I'll be thankful for it, and I believe God will bless you. Let's look here in the verses here. Acts chapter 16, verse number 4. The Bible says, as they went through the cities, they delivered unto them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Perga, now I may not say these names right, okay? I'm going to say them the way I think that they're said. I'm not sure. Okay, now when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After that, they were come to Mysia and said to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Let's pray tonight. Father, I do pray, Father, You would bless tonight. And Lord, I do not feel like I'm worthy to stand up here tonight and preach Your word. And Father, I never do feel like that. I pray, Father, You take the small offering of loaves and fishes I have tonight and multiply it. And I pray, Father, that You would speak to each heart and just feed us spiritually tonight with what we have here before us. And I pray that You would teach us Thy word tonight, Lord. May we leave here tonight a little more like Christ than when we came in. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today, of course, is Valentine's Day. And some of you men were hoping your wife didn't remember that. But I'm sure she did. And you're thinking right now, oh no, I'm in trouble. But you know, today, of course, I've been thinking a lot about love, about God's love for us, and I preached about that this morning. And we've been thinking about God and His love, and it's been on our minds. And really, the greatest gift that God ever gave us was His love. That's the greatest gift that God could ever do. When He sent His Son Jesus Christ down on the cross, He was showing us His love. Hey, love is an action word. Amen. Love isn't just words. You know, if I told my wife, "I love you," you know, that's great. That's wonderful. She wants to hear it. But if I just continue just to tell her and tell her and tell her and not show her, I mean, she wants to see some action too. Amen. I mean, love. My old pastor would say, "Love is a verb." Love is a verb. It's an action word. We need to see some action to go along with it. All right. My wife and I, we kind of joke a little bit, and I said to her, you know, when we got married on our wedding day, I didn't tell my wife, "All right, honey, I love you, and if it changes, I'll be sure to let you know." Okay? And so I'm not going to tell you ever again. I didn't say that to her. You know, she wouldn't be happy if I said that to her. Amen? I wouldn't be happy if I said that to her. She wouldn't be real loving to me. And so, but you know, I've been thinking about love, and I've been thinking about God's love toward us. And we need to tell God we love Him. And He tells us all the time as we read His Word that He loves us. And Jesus gave us a command. He said, "If you love me..." How many love God? How many love God? I know we all want to love God more than we do now. I mean, I love God, but I feel like I don't love Him like I should. I feel like I could love Him a little more. I love my wife very much, but I feel like I wish I could do more. I mean, all of us men, we feel like that. We love our wife. We love our children. We love our family and all, but we want to do more. We just can't find us. We just can't do it, or we want to find ways that we can do it. And we love God. I'm sure you do. You're here tonight. You love God. I believe you do. And God said that if we love Him, Jesus said, "If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments." Now, there's a command that Jesus gave, of course, to us. Take your Bibles. Keep your finger right there in Acts. Turn back to Matthew, the book of Matthew. The very end of the chapter there, Matthew chapter 28, you'll know this verse. It's a very familiar verse, Matthew chapter 28. Jesus giving His disciples a command, a commission. Jesus, in verse 19, saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Hey, God has given us, Jesus has given us a command to go into all the world. You know, and you want to reach your area? That's wonderful. That's great. You want to reach a Ballincollig? You want to reach Cork? You want to reach out further? That's wonderful. But God, you know what? There's the rest of the country. There's people over across the water. There's people all over the world that need a Savior as well. They need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, what other hope do they have? What other hope do they have? You know, before I was saved, I had no idea how to go to heaven. I didn't think about it much. But one day I began to think about it. I had a Bible. I wasn't saved, and I had a Bible. I don't even know if it was a King James or not. But I had it, and I would read it, and I was interested. It intrigued me a little bit. And I read a little bit here and there about in the Bible. But I began to think, you know, how do you go to heaven? Well, I want to go to heaven. I wanted to know how. How do I do it? And I began to reason in my own mind, how do I go to heaven? And I began to think, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I've not killed anybody. I've not committed this great crime, or I've not done this or that wrong. And I could point out a lot of people and say, they're worse than I am. And I kind of began to reason to myself that I've done some good things, and I also knew, at the same time, I've done some bad things. I've done some negative things. I've done some things that hurt people. I've done some things. I've lied. I've stolen. I've done this and I've done that. And I began to get a little list going here, a balance, like of good things I've done and bad things I've done. And I began to think to myself, you know, I believe when I die I'll stand before God, I believe I'll probably pay for the bad things I've done, and I'll be rewarded and go to heaven for the good things I've done. I mean, it made sense to me. I mean, it reasoned in my mind that would probably be what happened. There's only one problem with that. That's not in the Bible. I didn't read that in the Bible at all. I that just came out of my own mind. That just came out of my own heart. And my heart is desperately wicked. Amen. You know, there's only one issue. That's not the truth. And this is the truth. This is the only thing that's going to matter. You know, people can say, well, I think I'll go to heaven. I haven't done this. You've met them. You've talked to them. They said, well, we'll see what happens when I die. We'll just see what happens then. It'll be too late then, amen? It'll be too late for too many people then. There are opportunities right now. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore into all the world. And folks, we need to be concerned about the world. We need to be concerned about the people that you run into every day. People at the bank. People at the filling station. People in the shops. People when you're in line there in the store. People that you run into, bump into all the time. People that you work with. Your friends. Your neighbors. Your loved ones. They've all got a soul. And it's going to go one place or another. And we have the answer. It'd be like if your neighbor next door, your house was on fire. And you woke up in the middle of the night and you noticed the house is on fire. And you'd run out of the house. What are you going to do? Are you just going to say, your house is on fire. You might want to get out of the house. You're not going to do that, are you? You're going to run up to the house. You're going to bang on the door. And you're going to say, hey, there's a fire. Hey, wake up. There's a fire. You're going to die. And you're going to yell. You're going to get their attention because their life hangs in the balance. Their life is a matter of life and death. And this matter of our soul is a matter of life and death. We need to be serious about it. And I don't mean you got to go up to somebody and grab them like that. You're going to scare them away. You're going to scare them away. You scare me away, amen? You don't want to do that, but you've got to be kind and loving and praying and asking God for the opportunity to talk with them. But never give up. Never give up. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on keeping on. And never give up. You'll never know when that person's going to be saved. I had an uncle that died many years ago. I had only been saved about 4 or 5 years. I had an uncle that died, and everybody looked at me. I'd been saved a few years. I was off in Bible college, and people just could not believe it because they knew me before in my family. They knew the wicked life I lived. They knew who I was, and they saw this transformation. They saw this change, and they were all kind of stood back, and they watched curiously because they knew it was something real. There was something that I got a hold of, and they didn't know what it was about, but they respected it. And they knew there was something different about Elias. Something different about him. He's not the same guy he was just a few years ago. He's different. And my old friends were no longer my old friends. They didn't want nothing to do with me anymore. Amen? And my new friends, my old friends didn't want anything to do with them either. So, my whole life had changed. I was off in Bible college and my uncle had passed away. I got a phone call and they said they wanted me to preach the funeral. I'd never preached a funeral before. I was nervous. I had no idea what to do. But I realized that I had family that was going to be sitting out there, and 99% of them, I believe, were on their way to hell. And to do the funeral was not the nervous thing to me. It was the souls that hung in the balance. It was my uncle, my other uncle, my aunt, my nephew, my cousins, my other relatives that were there that were all unsaved. And I had to get up and preach a funeral for an unsaved man. Because I was family. And I shared with them the gospel. And through tears and through my voice cracking, I preached to them and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And that day, 13 people raised their hands to trust Jesus as Savior. One of them had been in the Catholic Church in the religion, I should say, for about seven. She was 70 years old. Just amazing to me. And I never thought God would use me. I never thought something like that would happen. I never believed that God could use me like that. But hey, you never know. You just keep on praying. You keep on believing. You keep on keeping on. And you keep on just trusting God. And He'll use you. He'll use you. Just a few things I want to point out to you here. As we look at that portion of Scripture here that we read tonight in Acts chapter 16. It's talking about Paul and Barnabas. They're Paul and Silas, they're traveling together. Paul and Barnabas were traveling together. Paul and Barnabas uh, had uh, had split up. They had a division between them, and Barnabas had decided, you know, I'm going to take John Mark and travel with him, and Paul decides to go with Silas, and they began traveling together, and they were going throughout village to village and city to city and place to place, and they were preaching, they were checking on the churches and just seeing how things are moving along. And as we read there, and the Bible talks about in verse number 6, let's look at that if we could. Verse number 6 says, "Now when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." You know, there are several things that we can notice about these two men as they were traveling, as they were doing God's will. And I want to point out three things to you quickly this evening. And number one, I want to tell you this, is these men, they had an undying determination. I mean, look at what they were doing. Here they were traveling. They didn't travel like we travel today. Brother Everly, you went up to Dublin today, 3 hours and 15 minutes or so, something like that, 3 hours and a half, or you came back, I should say. And, in those days, it would have taken you a lot longer to get that far, amen? I mean, what's it, Josh, what was the day's journey in Bible days? About 20 miles. You can go about 20 miles in Bible days, okay? And, maybe that would be on an animal. I'm sure, I don't know if you could walk that far, but I never really thought about it. I never walked 20 miles, amen? And I hope I never have to. These men, you know, they would travel from church to church. They'd go place to place. And they were trying to help. They were trying to be a blessing. And I'm sure one day they'd leave a church and they'd try to make it to another one in a few days and they didn't make it or whatever. And they had to sleep out at night, sleep under a tree, and it'd be cold. And, they didn't have, the Holiday Inn to stay at. Amen. They didn't have comforts and conveniences that we have today. They had it rough. They had it difficult. But you know what? They were determined. They said, you know what? This is important. This is urgent. This is something that matters. Let's go. And they would walk. And they would maybe just have a little bit of food or get a little bit of food along the way. Like I said, sleep at night under a tree or something. Get up the next morning and hike some more. And just try to get to church to try and be a blessing. Try to be a help to them. And they'd gone place to place. The Bible says here, I don't remember how many places there are here. But look there in verse 6. It says, Pergia, it mentions Galatia, it mentions Asia. Verse number 7 mentions Mysia and Bithynia. Verse number 8 mentions Troas. Verse number 9, Macedonia. Verse number 11 mentions Troas and Samothracia and Neapolis. Folks, I mean, these guys were busy, amen. They didn't let grass grow under their feet. I mean, they were excited about what they were doing because what they were doing mattered. What they were doing was important. And they were determined men about what they were doing. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you determined about? What is it that excites you? Is it football? Ooh, don't say that. don't say that. Don't preach that. I'm not preaching on that. I mean, I'm fine with sports. I love sports. You know, I'm fine with that. But you know what? Don't make it above God. Don't make it above something that's more important than God. Don't make it above that. But what is it that you're determined about? What is it that you're excited about? What is it that you could talk all day about? If somebody wanted to talk to you, boy, I'd talk to you all day about that. What is it? You know, there's some friends that I have. I'm a Mac guy. I don't work on PCs. Okay, brother, but I don't know if you're a PC guy. But I like Mac, okay? And you like Mac, yeah. I saw it in the back of your computer there. And I like Mac. Okay, I can talk to people about Mac. I can sit and talk and talk about Apple and talk about all this stuff and all these little stuff and gadgets. I love all that stuff. But you know what? I like it, but you know what? It's not more important to me than God. And I could talk to people about God all day long, and I might be able to talk to somebody about Mac all day long. And I like both things, but you know what? God's a little more important to me than that. You know, what are you determined about? I realize that people put their determination, or they're determined about two things. They're determined about temporary things. A lot of us we put our energy and our time, and we're determined about temporary things. We love our houses. We love our cars. We love our clothes. We love position. We love all these kind of popularity. We love all these things that one day will all be burned up. One day they'll all will pass. One day we'll all be gone. But we put our lives into them. We invest in them. We spend so much time in them, and it all for nothing. And as I look at Paul here, he didn't do that. He was spending his time on things that mattered. The second thing, eternal things. You can spend your life working on temporary things, or you can spend your life working on things that are eternal. You know, you can invest your life in something that's temporary that's going to be gone one day, or you can spend your life on something that's eternal that will be there forever. Hey, a soul is an eternal thing. Hey, why not worry about, or why not think about investing in souls? Why not show up on that day to go soul winning and just say, you know what, God, please use me today to win somebody to you. God, please use me today to invest my life in somebody else. Even if I just make a little difference, even if I could just make a little headway with somebody, God, please use me. You have no idea what God can do with you. You might give a track to somebody and they might, I'm not going to take that stupid track, and they'll throw it down or whatever. You don't know what they're, you know, they might take it from you at the house and just, you know, get out of here and be rude to you. You have no idea what God will do with that a month later, 2 months later. My wife, a true story, my wife knocked at our door and gave talked to a lady. She was a little rude to my wife, but she took the track. I'm not going to read it, she said. And my wife said, just keep it. You might need it. Whatever. I don't need you. And closed the door on her. My wife, you know, nobody likes to be treated like that. And she wasn't happy about it. But she just said, Lord, you know, I'm out doing your work. God, use that track. That lady put that track on top of her refrigerator. And she left it there. Forgot all about it. About 2 months later, she had somebody in her family that died, that passed away. And we're very close to this woman. And this woman was brokenhearted, did not know what to do. And she was looking for something, some kind of phone number or something that was sitting up on top of the refrigerator. Came across that track. And it said on there, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And the thought of heaven, of course, was on her mind. And it was on her heart. And she read that track and she accepted the Lord that day as her Savior. Never, you know, just 2 months later, God didn't use it, but God used my wife that day to plant a seed, to put that in her house so that she can trust the Lord. And say, you have no idea what God will do until you get to heaven. Go out and worry about investing your time in eternal things. Forget about the temporary. Yeah, we need temporary things. We need a car. We need a house. But you know what? Don't put those things as an emphasis. Don't put those things on top of the list. Put eternal things there. And you won't be sorry. You'll be glad when you get to heaven. I guarantee you, people lie on their deathbed. And they never will say, Brother Leber, they'll never say, I just did too much for God. I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time doing things for God. But they will say, I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have done more. I wish I wouldn't have been spending my time on this and that, all this frivolous stuff. I wish I wouldn't have wasted my time in games and playing around and messing around and doing all these things and just wasting my time. I wish I would have done more for God. The second thing I want to mention to you is this. Number one, I said they had an undying determination. What are you determined about? And I would ask you, examine yourself. Decide you want to be determined about eternal things. Number two, let me quickly mention, they had an uncomfortable revelation. Paul and Silas, they had an uncomfortable revelation. Look there in verse number 8, it says, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia praying and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. But folks tonight, allow me to say to you, they had an uncomfortable revelation. I mean, imagine, here Paul is, and he had a vision appear to him. I mean, let me tell you something. If I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a vision appear unto me, some glowing man or something like that, I might scream like a woman, okay? I mean, it would be very uncomfortable, okay? I mean, I might say, "Honey, go, something's out there for you," and I'm gonna go hide under the covers, amen. And that would be uncomfortable. I mean, that would be a little scary, all right? But here Paul is, he had a vision of a man of Macedonia come over into Macedonia and help us. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord is gonna. You might get yourself put into a position where you might feel a little uncomfortable. God might put you in a position where you might be a little out of your comfort zone. Amen. Amen? But you know what? God is trying to stretch your faith. You know, God might be working on your heart about giving to missions, about giving to the church so the church can take on more missionaries so you can have more effect around the world. And you might say, God's working on your heart about giving 50 euros a month. And you say, oh, God, I don't know. I was thinking more like 20. What do you think, God? Can we come to an agreement? God says, no, I want you to do 50. I don't know, God. That's going to cost. I'm going to have to sacrifice to do that. God wants you to do that. He wants to stretch your faith a little bit. He wants to step out on a limb a little bit for Him. You know why? Because you have to trust Him. God loves it when you trust Him. God, you know, without faith, what? It's impossible to please God. You know, God's trying to stretch your faith. He's trying to grow your faith so you'll trust Him more. You know, and I don't mean to do this, Josh, to embarrass you, but when he was a little boy, we were in the States, And my son did not know how to swim. And we were at a place with a swimming pool, and we were just kind of in the pool there as a family. And it was probably just Josh and I don't remember. But we were in there, and he was outside the pool there, and I was in the pool in the water. And I said, Joshua, you're just 4 years old, 5 years old, something like that. And I said, Joshua, jump to me and I'll catch you. Jump in the water and I'll catch you. I'm right here. I'm Dad. I'm going to catch you. It's going to be okay. Oh, I'm scared, Dad. You know, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. I'm scared. You don't know how to swim. It was 4 feet deep, the water, and just scared to death. So I said, come on, Josh, jump, and I'll catch you. I promise I'll catch you. I promise. Now, it would be a perfect story if he would have jumped, okay? But he didn't jump, amen? It'd be perfect. Now, we're going to try this another day, and you're going to jump. I'm going to say, my 17-year-old son, jump to me, and I'll fall back in the water like that. But it was uncomfortable for him to do that. You know, he would have had to really step out there, literally, step out there on a limb and trust me. But you know what? I would have done everything in my power to catch him. Because I wanted him to know the next time he trusts me, he can trust me. Because, boy, when I stepped out the first time, Dad caught me. And then he can jump into deeper water. Amen. Or he can jump a little from up something off a little higher, and I'll catch him. And that's what God's trying to do with you. He's trying to get you to step out a little further. Step out a little more. You think, well, I just did last year. I just stepped out more last year. I mean, what's God trying to do? He's trying to get you to trust Him fully. Trust Him fully. Trust Him with your life. You could trust Him with your soul, right? Amen. You could trust Him and take you to heaven one day. Why not trust Him with your pocketbook? Why not trust Him with your children? Why not trust Him with your marriage? But Paul here, he had an uncomfortable revelation. It was a little uncomfortable, a little out of his comfort zone, and God's going to do that to you too. He's going to put you in a place where you're going to have to trust Him a little bit. Let's quickly move on to point number three. Number one, I said they had an undying determination. Number two, I said they were unquestionably activated. Look there in verse number 10. And it says, and after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Folks, let me say something to you tonight. When God works on your heart about doing something, the best thing for you to do is step out and do what God wants you to do, number one. But number two, let me say to you, realize that you have a partner with God. God and you, your partners. You're never going to have to do anything on your own. You have a partner, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay? I will be with you to the end of the world. Amen? And He's going to be with you. And that's exactly what Paul did. When he got the vision, the Bible says there, verse 10, after he had seen the vision, what? Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering what? That the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. When God puts it in your heart to do something, realize that you can do it because God's the one backing you. God's the one who's going to empower you. God's the one who's going to give you the ability to do it. If you had to do it on your own, we'd fall on our faces. Amen. We'd fall flat on our face. I cannot do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot get up and preach a message. I cannot have my marriage. I cannot raise my children. I need God's power. I need to have it in my life. And realize that God is your partner and that you can do it because God has worked on your heart about doing it. You know, some of the most difficult decisions you'll ever make in your life, there'll be decisions that have to do with your spiritual life, your Christian walk. But there's no greater joy than seeing God provide, than seeing God bless you when you step out in faith. I mean, I have put myself out on a limb before. And ask God, all right, God, I'm going to do this. And God, please bless my faith. Because God, I'm doing this on faith. God, I am taking this step on faith. And it's not the decision that I want to make. It's not the easy decision. The easy decision is to keep doing this. That'd be the easy. But, you know, God, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do this. Because I believe this is what you want. God, please, if you don't take care of me, God, I am done. I am out of it. I am down for the count. And God has always blessed faith. He'll bless your faith. You know, God loves faith. He loves it when you believe in Him. You know, like I said, it would have been perfect if Joshua would have jumped out. And I'm not doing it to embarrass you. I'm really not. But you know, He loves to see it when His children, we're His children, He loves to see it when we just trust Him. And you trust Him more, you trust Him more, and you trust Him more. What a life to live. Trust God. And that's exactly the life that Paul lived. He lived day by day just trusting God. Just trusting Him for everyday essentials, everyday needs that he had. And we can have that joyous Christian life as well if we just are willing to trust our God. He's our God. He's a God you read about in the Bible. He's a God who has done great miracles. He's a God, and He speaks to us through His Word. Why do we not trust Him? Why are we a little nervous about taking the step? Trust Him. He wants to bless you. He wants to have that closer relationship with you. But the next step is ours. The next step is ours. Step out on the limb and trust God. Let's pray. Father, please bless tonight. Lord, thank You for the opportunity of being here tonight. And Lord, I believe I preached and I said the words that You wanted me to say tonight. God, I pray that You would just take them and use them and just help, Father, this church and these people, Lord. They're good people, and they're people, Lord, that love You, and they want to continue to see great blessings come in this church. And I believe over the years, they've seen some wonderful things happen. They've seen some miraculous things happen. And God, it's not over. It's just beginning. There's some great things in the future. There's some great things tomorrow for them. If we just would learn to trust. An old preacher told me one day, my old pastor told me that the Christian life is two things, trusting and obeying. Trusting and obeying our God. And I pray and I hope tonight that you have in your heart a yielded spirit saying, God, I want to trust You. God, I want to love You. I want to be closer to You than I am right now. I want my life to grow closer with You each day, each week, each month, each year. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be more like Christ. And the way we do that is trust and obey. And I pray tonight You'd make a decision that You'd want to do that.